Blog Talk Radio.
Cold world, cold world.
Oh yeah, it's turkey time, America. Oh yeah, get that oyster dressing ready.
Uh-oh. Let's go. What?
Your time is up. My time is now. You can't see me. My time is now. It's a franchise.
Welcome
to time now. You can't see me. My time is now.
Welcome, of course, to Talking Sports with 12th Man. I am Andre Peterson, joined by Robert Ford. Today is Tuesday, November the 20th, and yes, as Robert was talking about earlier, we're getting ready for Turkey Day. We got a lot of things going on, a lot of NBA, a lot of NFL, college football, a lot of topics to get into, and man, we're very excited. Like I said, hope you guys are getting prepared. Thanksgiving is it's just 2 days away. Rob, how you doing today, sir?
Man, doing great, man. I can't wait to get into some desserts this week, some turkey, some oyster dressing, any kind of dressing, man. I'm ready, Doc. I'm ready to talk some sports here tonight, too, so let's get it rolling.
Let's kick it off. For those that want to call into the show, once again, we always give you guys the numbers and the tweets and the Facebooks and all that fun stuff. Call into the show, the number to call in, it's 424-243-9519. Don't forget to like us, please, on Facebook. Obviously at facebook.com/talkingsports12man, and we're actually on Twitter at the number 12 THmanSports as well. So without further ado, Rob, we got a lot of topics to discuss, man. I think you try to like stuff us like a turkey, but it's all good.
Man, I try to stuff it all in, man. We may get to it, we may not.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out. But first and foremost, this is a great way to start. Especially for our listeners out on the West Coast, and obviously a pretty interesting game, if you want to call it a game, last night between the 49ers, and I don't really think the Bears showed up, but, you know, obviously Colin Kaepernick kind of did his thing, and were you surprised at his success versus the we supposedly thought was a tough Chicago Bears defense, or do you think they just kind of got wore down, or Colin is that good? Kind of tell us what your talk about this, and obviously some controversy as far as the quarterbacks.
Well, we want to start the show off here with a treat for our Bay Area listeners. I know we got a lot of listeners in the Bay Area, so
make sure
you all call in and give us your comments on this. Is it a quarterback controversy in San Francisco? Should Kaepernick be starting over Alex Smith, or should Alex Smith still be the starter? I'm not surprised by Kaepernick's ability. I saw him play at Naval in college, and I was really impressed with him. He's got good size. He's got a strong arm. He can run. He's mobile. And this is a guy that I think in the future is very capable of leading a franchise, whether it be San Francisco or somewhere else. He's definitely capable of being the starting quarterback in this league. He has that kind of ability. I personally don't think he should be the starter over Alex Smith just yet. Just one game last night, and Alex Smith has helped his team win a lot of ball games. And you know how it is. When a guy plays one game, teams just don't have a whole lot of film on them. You know, organizations are going to come up with some plays that best suit his talents. And the Bears obviously did not have a lot of film to prepare for him. And not saying he's not going to have success. I think he will. But I'm not one of these people that think he should be starting over Alex Smith just yet. I mean, this team's won a lot of ball games with Alex Smith. They were 13-3 last year. And they were even 6-2-1 this year prior to last night. Although, like I said, I was very impressed with Kaepernick. But I'm not one that's willing to say, hey, let's give the job to Alex Smith. It's not like this team has not been winning with Alex Smith at the quarterback position.
Yeah, I agree, too. It's kind of tough because, you know, obviously, I know a lot of the 49er fans may not. They're like, man, Alex Smith doesn't have the arm, whatever. And like you said, I think Kaepernick does have a lot of things that, that you can't really scout for. I mean, he's very mobile. Like you said, he's got a really good arm. But like you said, I think he's kind of young. And like you said, I think it's kind of premature to let him kind of get behind center. You know, like I said, Alex Smith does have a lot of success. You also want to keep track of the locker room, too, because right now, you know, Alex Smith's kind of, you know, he's kind of the guy. He's had an incredible postseason. But, you know, like I said, I'm sure the way that Kaepernick played it, it may elevate Alex Smith's game to realize, hey, I need to do some things a little bit better, and maybe he can learn from this as well. So, I think it's interesting. But like you said, I don't think it's quite yet the time to actually put him as far as starting for that team just yet. So we'll see how everything plays out.
I agree. And just a little quick snippet to the 49er Nation. 49ers will lose this coming Sunday down in New Orleans. So, call in the fight with me, Barry.
Yeah.
So, yeah, coming down to get a beating this Sunday. But let's move on to the next topic. It's just a little tidbit for our Bay Area fans.
You trying to say they've been waiting for this? Like they've been trying to get some revenge? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes.
Oh,
man. That Nation
okay.
is ready.
Wow, Robert Ford has an alter ego, too. He's kind of like a crazy Saints fan, you know, for 6 days of the week. Then on Tuesday, he kind of becomes a little more calm. But that's another story altogether. We'll keep it going. We'll see how that plays out, too. And I can't wait to keep track of these predictions, too. Moving right along, let's talk about another running back, Mr. Willis McGahee. He's going to miss the rest of the regular season. And I think the question was, will the Broncos keep winning? Are they going to skip the meet, or are they going to continue to dominate the AFC West? And if I would go first, I'd actually say I don't think it's a big deal. Obviously, Peyton Manning is kind of hitting his stride right about now. Obviously, you have to have somewhat of a running game, but, obviously, Peyton has done without, one before. So, obviously, if you have somebody just kind of like keep the threat there, I think the Broncos are playing well. I don't think they'll skip a beat. I mean, obviously, they'd like to have Wilson Gaye there, but I think they'll be just fine. What about you, sir?
Well, I kind of agree with you. Willis McGahee has been having a very good season. For the Broncos, having a very strong. I mean, he's even on one of my fantasy teams, so I know I've been keeping up with him quite well this year. And he's been running the ball extremely well, and he's been helping the Broncos have a nice balanced attack. But I think Ronnie Hillman and Lance Ball can hold down the fort, and there's a very good chance that McGahee may return for the playoffs. But he's out for the rest of the regular season. But Peyton Manning is in the groove right now, and this Denver team, there's nobody else in that division. I mean, Kansas City's 1-9, San Diego 4-6, Oakland 3-7. I mean, there's nobody else in that division that's going to pose a threat to them. This Denver team is really hot right now, and they could, they're going to be a team to reckon with in this playoffs here. This team is moving in the right direction. So I say they easily still will win the AFC West, no doubt about it.
What a difference one player makes, man. Like you said, we weren't sure what was going to happen if he was one hit away from actually, if it was a tough thing. But, actually, John Elway's done a great job of, protecting Peyton, and Peyton is doing his thing. So it's very, very exciting to see what happens, especially in the playoffs. So we'll see if what's going to happen as far as the Denver Broncos and how far they're going to actually go. Let's talk about a couple of another guy. We got Ed Reed. He's actually suspended. Well, actually, this was actually overturned recently. This was kind of some breaking news. And I guess he was actually, fined $50,000, $50K. Do you think it's kind of good, that the league is kind of doing this? Or why do you think they actually overturned this suspension?
Well, I didn't agree. I was one that did not agree with the suspension. I think, what's happening right now with the NFL is I don't think they quite understand the nature of football and how some of these guys are moving, at the speed that they're moving, to try to all of a sudden change their body motions when they're moving that fast to try to avoid hitting the guy helmet to helmet. I mean, that's very hard to do. And I think this is, Ted Cottrell, with him being in league office, I think he maybe can help be a bridge, getting these guys who really never played football to really understand that. And so I didn't agree with the suspension. I don't even know if I still agree with the fine, but I guess it's better than the suspension. And I think that, I know there are some legal hits. And, more the legal hits are more the, the intentional late hits and things of that nature, But this was just like a football move. And what happens a lot of times is these receivers, they'll move and put their head down sometimes, and all of a sudden they'll cause a helmet to helmet, and they'll flag a defender. So I'm not always, in agreement with some of these penalties that they were on these helmet-to-helmet penalties. And I think this did not warrant a suspension, in my opinion, and nor did it warrant a fine.
Yeah, it's tough, too, because sometimes, you know, as a defensive player, I'm sure you're starting to hate these offensive players because it seems like the game is actually becoming more for them. You know, obviously, a lot of these handshaking rules, a lot of things they're allowed to do, they're, you know, you're allowed to chuck after so many, you know, 5 yards, and, you know, it's just kind of a different game. And obviously, I know the NFL wants to make it more open and, you know, fans want more scoring and stuff like that. But if you're a defensive player, you know, there's certain things you don't want to happen. You don't want some guy coming across the middle, just, you know, whatever. And I'm sure if you're a team like the Ravens, if you're a team, you know, obviously like the Patriots back in the day whenever you were playing real physical, heck, even like the 49ers, you know, you want to basically impose your will on the other team, say, hey, if you're coming across the middle, this is what's going to happen. And that definitely has something to account for an offensive player. So, like you said, I would agree with, you know, a lot of the things. You know, I don't want to intentionally hurt somebody. Obviously, you want to keep the game, obviously, pure in that aspect. But, you know, obviously, you want the players to play. You want to be physical. And that's what football is. So, you know, we'll see. And like I said, maybe, you know, Ted Control is going to make that bridge and make it easier. I think he had to do something because, you know, they suspended him like, all right, we're going to turn around and just give you a quick little fine, you know. But obviously, for the Ravens, you're happy with that because, you know, obviously, Ed Reed is a tremendous playmaker. You have to have him on the field at all times. So,
absolutely. Well. And the Ravens are playing extremely well right now, too.
Yeah, 8-2 as well. We're about 18 minutes in. I want to get to those who want to call in, tell us your thoughts. You have a couple ways to get in touch with us. You can hit us up via phone at 424-243-9519 or also hit us up on Facebook, 12th Man Sports, Hockey Sports, and 12th Man, and also at Twitter at 12th Man as well. We're going to keep it moving, Rob. And if you've been watching a lot of interesting injuries that have been happening in the past couple of weeks, with Byron Leftwich being hurt, and then also Rob Gronkowski. So a couple things are happening. We're going to talk about the Steelers first. And the Steelers are actually going with Charlie Batch. If you've been keeping up with the Steelers, I know Steeler Nation out there, they made a couple moves bringing back Plaxico Burress, and actually they actually signed Poyer. They signed a quarterback as well. So tell us about those moves, and it's going to be tough for the Steelers moving forward.
Yeah, it really will be. I mean, Charlie Batch is old enough to be your granddad. And this guy's been in the league, you know, forever, man. And, I mean, what is he, like 67? I mean, and they're going to go out there with him in quarterback position. This is going to be really tough for them. You're looking at Roethlisberger being out for at least a couple more weeks. And Leftwich, I mean, this is going to be really hard. I mean, I think the only teams that they can beat is teams like the Kansas City Chiefs, Jacksonville Jaguars, you know, teams like that with this guy quarterback. It's going to be really tough. But, you know, they have a very quality defense that should keep them in games. So who knows? They could possibly still hold on and maybe go 1-1 the next couple of weeks until Ben Roethlisberger come back. But it's going to be really tough. I mean, they if Charlie Batch is going to quarterback this team the rest of the season, they're definitely going to fall out of the playoff picture. And I just don't think they can keep winning on a consistent basis with Batch at the quarterback position. Like I said, he's old enough to be your granddad.
I don't know why you got to talk about me like that, man. Yeah, I think he's a good player. He's only 37 years old, man. He's got 15 years of experience, man. Come on, man. He can do it.
Man, he seems like he's 67, man. It seems like that guy's been playing when he was in the 70s.
Oh, man, he's been around for a minute, no doubt. But like you said, we'll see how everything plays out with Mr. Batch. I'm trying to figure out what happened to Dennis Dixon. I don't know if he just didn't get signed or what happened with him, or if he's just kind of like, oh, he's with the Ravens. Okay, gotcha. All right, interesting. Let's take a quick little another turn and talk about another interesting injury to Rob Gronkowski. He's out 4 to 6 weeks. And you posed the question, can the Patriots still win the AFC East? And my thing is that they can because they've got great coaching. They'll figure out a way to adapt. Tom Brady is like a machine from some quotes that you've heard. Obviously, they like to have him back, but I think they'll be able to survive and they'll get other guys involved in the offense. What do you think, sir?
Well, yeah, you still have a very capable tight end in Aaron Hernandez who could be starting for a lot of teams in the NFL. And so, yeah, I don't think New England misses a beat. It's not like they're losing Tom Brady. And so, you know, the quarterback position is the most important position on the field. So they'll definitely be able to keep winning and keep driving. And they're clearly, and just like we talked about with Denver and the AFC West, the Patriots have such a lead on the NFC East, that there's nobody going to challenge them in that division. And they're division champs. You might as well crown them. And as Denny Green wants, you want to crown them? Crown them.
Crown them.
Let's crown them. Let's crown the New England Patriots. And they're clearly the better team in that division with or without Rob Gronkowski.
Talk about another team that's having, I'm sure they've kind of been very disappointing since these people in the Detroit Lions. And there was a situation with Titus Young, he had a situation with the first of the Texans. He's actually getting suspended for this Thanksgiving game. And I guess the question that we have is, do you agree with this? And it's interesting because, you know, obviously the Lions have, they're kind of reminding me of the New York Jets of the South here, or actually the North, you know, kind of like that, and bear with me in that they're just, they had all this promise, and they're kind of like having a lot of infighting, and they just don't seem like everyone's on the same page. So I know it's been tough with the Madden curse, supposedly, with Calvin Johnson and Stafford and whatnot, but I don't know. It's kind of interesting how everything is going with the Lions right about now.
Well, yeah, you know, this is a team-imposed suspension on Titus Young, and I actually kind of agree with it. You got a guy here that's pointing fingers, who's complaining, and this is a team game, and your team has to stick together whether you win or lose. And so I think Jim Schwartz is doing the right thing here. You send a message to a guy, hey, you either with this or you're not. And, you know, we're going to sit you down a week, and we're going to let you decide if you're going to be with us the rest of the season or you're not going to be with us. And if you're not, we're going to get you out of here. And so I think this is a good message by Jim Schwartz. You don't need guys on your team finger pointing. And whether you win or lose, you have to stick together. This is a team game. And so I like what Jim Schwartz is doing here with Titus Young. I really do.
Wow. Robert approves it. He approves the message. So we're going to move right forward. Let's talk about it. I don't know why you put this in here, Rob. Who's the best quarterback in the NFC West? I mean, This is
that's
kind of
torture right there, because are there any good quarterbacks in the division, first of all?
Yeah, you got to look at the division like, man, Seattle, Arizona. Arizona, I mean, they almost they had a good defense, man. You know, they had your boy Lindy in there after Skelton was kind of messing up. And then, you know, Sam Bradford had all this promise, and you're just like, man, you know, hopefully he's going to do his thing. And then obviously Seattle's got a young Russell Wilson. And for the 49er fan, you're probably pulling your hair with Alex Smith and with Colin, and you like the future, obviously, of them, but, you know, based upon, you know, the team, you would have to go with the 49ers, but talent, you know, it's kind of interesting because, you know, you'd hope Sam Bradford would do his thing, but then also you see the promise of Seattle, and if you're Arizona, you just hope that you get a draft pick somewhere, so I don't even know.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think?
I'm going to say Alex Smith is the best right now in the division. But I think in a year or two, Russell Wilson, the way he's been playing, I think even though he's a third-round pick, I know Sam Bradford is a first-round pick, you would expect Bradford to be that number one guy in this division at some point, but I just don't see it. And I don't see him elevating talent around him like great quarterbacks do. But I like this kid, Russell Wilson. I think this kid is going to wind up being the best player, best QB in this division. But right now, I would have to say Alex Smith is still the best, you know, even though he's not great, but I think he's still decent and good. So I would have to say he's still the best QB in the NFC West. So Bay Area, we still giving y'all a little love talking about the 49ers.
What do you think about Colin? Do you think Colin can actually be a little bit better than Russell Wilson, or do you think he's just kind of like the product of the system?
Well, I think Colin definitely has the capability, but, you know, we don't know if Collins is going to be in San Fran being a starter or if they're going to have to move him. They're going to stick to Alex Smith. And so right now I'm just going to still say Russell Wilson is the guy that's eventually can be the guy that can really be the best QB in this division.
Good deal. Let's talk about some NFL top 10. We'll do some predictions and we'll do some fantasy shout-outs. But let's talk about the NFL's top 5. This is pretty interesting because I went strictly on record, and if you're looking at the NFL, and obviously you know that any team can be a tough out. You know, obviously looking at the way Jacksonville gave Houston everything they wanted. Same thing you could say about Cleveland doing their thing. You know, there's certain teams that, you know, you're like, wow, you know, how can this actually happen? And, you know, case in point, Arizona giving us a challenge. And back in the day, K Kansas City giving you guys some challenges. It's just interesting, you know, how certain teams may match up with you well, and it's tough to actually give your top five. But just going off the bat, I went strictly off of record in this instance, and obviously I had Houston still number one, even though they were kind of challenged by the 31st-ranked team in Jacksonville. And Chad Henne's going to do his thing, man. That's amazing how he's kind of fallen, too. I like Falcons number two. I actually like the 49ers number three, the Ravens four, and I still like Green Bay number five. So that's kind of Andre's power ranking. I've dropped Chicago out of there because of the fact that in spite of what you saw last night, it's just tough without Jay Cutler. That's kind of amazing to say. I can't believe I'm actually saying that, but that's just kind of how I've got some people on the outside looking in. Obviously, I look at the Patriots, too. There's a lot of some teams that can kind of go in and out, but that's what I have right now going into week number 11 here.
Well, you and I still agree at 1-2. I still have Houston 1, Atlanta 2. So, yeah, those are still my top two as of right now as well. I have Baltimore number 3 right now, though. I've been really impressed with them the last few weeks. And so I have them at number 3. I have the 49ers at number 4. And I have the Patriots at number 5 instead of Green Bay. But I have Green Bay. If we were doing the top 6, I would have Green Bay there, just on the outside looking in. But I have the Patriots at number 5. And so that is my top 5 as of right now. Slightly different from yours, but we agree at 1-2 still.
Robert has nothing to say but give the Falcons some love. I love it. I love it. I love it. We'll keep doing that every single week, man. I'm going to keep plugging that because that's what it's all about. Moving right along, sir, we're going to do some quick predictions and we're going to do some fantasy shout-outs. We got about 8 minutes left in the show. And I know somebody actually tweeted us a good question for college football, so we'll save that for a quick second. But let's talk a little bit about some predictions. Interesting game. We've got some rivalries going on here with Minnesota at Chicago. And if you keep hearing a couple of the news, it's interesting because you wonder if who's going to be starting for Chicago, because I don't think Jason Campbell won any part to be playing that game last night. So, obviously, I don't know if it's the defense that kind of like let some people down, or what do you think is going on, man? This is actually a tough game since it's in Chicago, so I'm going to let you go first with this actual prediction, sir.
Well, yeah, this one is a tough to call because there's still questions if Jay Cutler is going to be back for this game. And so it's kind of my prediction is going to be based on if Cutler plays. If Cutler plays, I like the Bears. If he don't, I like the Vikings. And I just don't see Cutler is able to buy time in the pocket. That Chicago Bears offensive line is just horrible. And they're a great offensive line away from being a Super Bowl contender. And but a Cutler can get rid of the ball, buy time a little bit better than Jason Campbell can. And so I think if Cutler plays, Bears win this game. If he don't, I like the Vikings.
That is so sad. That is so sad. But yeah, I agree with you 100%. Because right now I think the offensive line is very, you know, no matter how what the quarterback plays, it's just terrible. Let's move on to our next game, and this is very interesting. I know the Falcons kind of had some challenges with a very, very resilient Arizona team, and we've got them at Tampa Bay now. As a Falcon fan, the outside looking in, we don't – looks like we have a very good run defense, and that's something that Tampa Bay is going to look to establish. So it really depends on if Tampa is able to run the ball against us. I think we're definitely going to be geared up for this. I think we have a little bit more offensive firepower than the Bucs, so I'm going to go with us. It's going to be a tough game. It's going to be a little closer, but I think we're going to definitely recognize what happened versus a very tough Arizona team. So that's my prediction.
You picking with your heart or your mind?
I'm picking a little bit of both, but right now, like I said, we got to show that defense up for sure. They're going to try to run the ball on us. Tampa Bay is actually very, very underrated too, so I have a lot of respect for them. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think it's going to be a very, very tight game, as always, in our NFC South division.
Yeah, this is a very intriguing game here, and I know we have a lot of listeners in Atlanta, and they may not like me for what I'm getting ready to say here, but I think Tampa Bay is going to play a ball control game. Doug Martin is having an incredible year. He's third in the NFL in rushing. And we're going against the Falcons team that has been struggling, stopping the run the last few weeks here. And I think Tampa Bay squeaks out a close game this week, and I think they're going to play a little ball control to keep the Falcons' offense and Matt Ryan and those receivers and Gonzalez off the field a little bit and try to pound them with Doug Martin and LeGarrette Blount. And I think Tampa squeaks out a win here.
Very nice, Rob. Moving right along to the next one, we have, I'm not going to say anything else, we have Green Bay at the New York Giants. So the Giants resting off the bye. It's another interesting game. I'm not sure what to think about the Giants, because 1 week we have them playing like world beaters, and the next time they get challenged by a less inferior team. I think Green Bay is going to be ready for this game, though, because I'm sure they're mad about what happened for the postseason. I think they're going to have a little something-something for the Giants. So I'm thinking Green Bay in this game.
I agree with you. I think the Giants have been struggling here of late. Eli Manning, for some reason, has gotten into a slump. And I just think Green Bay is the better ball club right now. They're playing. Aaron Rodgers has a hot hand right now. The Green Bay running game is still a little suspect, but I still like them to go on the road and win in the Big Apple.
Gotcha. Good stuff. Let's do some fantasy shout-outs real quick. We've got about 4 minutes or so left in the show, about three and a half minutes, actually. Let's do some shout-outs, and then we'll talk about a nice little tweet about who should be a better hire for Arkansas, as a matter of fact. So let's get some shout-outs out.
Great. Quick shout-outs here to Talking Sports, 12-man fantasy football league, still in first place. It's crazy crew, Wayne DeGrange. A quick shout-out to you, Gentilly Hot Sashes, with the biggest win of the week, with a win over the Night Ward Soldiers. Corey Angeletti, big win. Man, every time I say that name, I just want to go get a hot sauce. Poor boy, so I may have to go out and get one here pretty soon. But anyway, in college football pick'em, yours truly, Robert Ford, still in first place, holding off Andre Peterson in second place here. And then the Talking Sports with 12-man fantasy basketball league, still in first place, Dr. Duncanstein, Irv Daniels. I'm knocking on the door. Hopefully by next week I'll overtake that first place spot. So those are our quick shout-outs. We want to thank you all for competing with us and stay in touch with us so you all can be in our leagues on next year if you didn't make it this year.
I'll have to go back and look at some matches, man, because I beat some dude pretty bad, man, last week too, man. So I don't know why I'm not being considered for this, man. I think you have some bias against me, man. I scored 126 points. He had 76, man. What's up with that, man? Come on, man.
Who is this?
This is me, Straight Cash Homie, over Black Belt, 126.94. Homie scored 76.34 points. How about that?
Man, Gentilly Hot Sauce has won like 160-something to 40-something.
Yeah. I just
think of
that, yeah.
Stop complaining, man. You won.
Gentilly, I hope you don't play, man. It's all good. 12-4. Keep it going. Oh, man. We are moving right along. Let's talk about somebody actually tweeted a pretty interesting question as we kind of move over to college football, and also we're getting close to the OT portion of the show. We got about 2 minutes, Rob. Let's go ahead and set this up real quick. I don't know if you got we got about a minute, about 90 seconds here.
We want to thank you all for listening to our live portion of the show. You can listen to our OT portion right after the live show. We do another 15 minutes, but you can't listen to it until tomorrow. We have some great college football predictions we're going to be talking about in our OT portion, along with some NBA and college basketball talk. So please tune in tomorrow. Click on the same link, and you can listen to that portion of the show. And make sure you join us next Tuesday, 11 Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific, 5 p.m. for those of you all listening in Hawaii. We want to wish all of you a happy and blessed Thanksgiving. Make sure you join us on next Tuesday. Andre, you got anything? Closing remarks.
Hey, man, I just want to tell you there's a lot of love. Thank you for listening to the show. Tell your friends. As Robert said, have a great, great Thanksgiving. Don't eat too much. I know we were kind of stuffed this show. We're excited. If you want to listen to the show as you were getting ready, preparing that feast, if you will, do so. We're going to have some fun. That's what we do.
Good night, world. Good night, Germany. Good night, Hawaii. Good night, Los Angeles. Good night, San Francisco. Join us next Tuesday.
It's funny because it's actually in the morning in Germany right now, but there's a lot of love. It's actually like 4 o'clock in the morning, so there's a lot of love. But, yes, as Robin said, there's love. We'll see you guys next week. And we'll talk about the OT portion of the show, but to kick it right about now. So let's jump into this. This is pretty interesting, Rob. Somebody had a question. This is obviously a Arkansas fan, and they wanted to know, do you think would make a better fit for a better hire for Arkansas? This is I think, wishful thinking. You have Charlie Strong or Gary Patterson. He did the hashtag Razorbacks. So what do you think about this?
Wow, that is a very good question. And I tell you what, I really like Charlie Strong as a coach, but I also think Gary Patterson is an extremely good coach here as well. And I think both of those guys will be great hires, but I'm going to lean a little bit toward Charlie Strong just because he has some SEC ties. He's coached at Florida for many years. And I know Louisville has come out and said that they will offer Charlie Strong a better contract than anybody else will. And so they're going to fight to keep him. And there's some rumors about Louisville moving to the ACC, that Maryland is now leaving ACC. So there's a little bit of talk about will it be Louisville or will it be Connecticut that will be moving to the ACC. So, you know, if a Louisville program moves to the ACC, Charlie Strong may be a little bit more inclined to stay there as opposed to moving to the SEC. So, but if he's willing to go to Arkansas, I think that is a better hire. So I would slightly lean toward him over Gary Patterson, just my opinion.
Gotcha. Let's talk about this. So there's been a lot of moves that's been going on. Obviously, if you've heard the rumors that Maryland and Rutgers are actually going to join the Big Ten. Now, you know how we love the Big Ten?
Not in football, that's for sure.
Is this going to help them to be a little bit more interesting as far as the actual games? Or what do you think? Or how do you think this actually – does this help the division, you think, Rob? Or does it kind of like – you know, what do you think the purpose of this is?
Well, I think, you know, Big Ten, this is all about media dollars right here. You look at Rutgers, they're in New Jersey, just outside of New York City. And so now the Big Ten, when they're renegotiating a media TV rights deal, now you've got the New York market to play with. And then you get a Maryland team that's in a suburb of Washington, D.C. So you're getting two huge media markets into your conference right on time for you to negotiate a new television contract. And so this is what this is all about. I mean, it's not like the Big Ten is going to be an improved football conference with these two schools. A little bit, maybe. Rutgers may be a little bit ahead of Maryland. Maryland's probably a little bit ahead of Rutgers in basketball. But it's more so about attracting these two huge markets into your conference, and that's what the Big Ten is doing here. I think losing Maryland is a huge blow to the ACC, personally, losing that D.C. market.
Yeah, I agree. It's interesting. But like you said, I mean, it's not like they've been kind of like the dormant, school right about now. But, you know, like you said, that's a good market. It's always good to get out there and play and get some exposure. Is that true that they've been paying like $50 million to actually break that contract or something like that? I've heard some rumors about that as well.
Well, there is some talk about that. But I think Maryland is going to try to negotiate a smaller exit fee with the ACC here. So they may not have to pay $50 million, but they will have to pay some form of an exit fee to leave the ACC.
Gotcha. Interesting. So we'll keep track about that. It's a very interesting, a lot of moves that are going on. And like you said, I like the rumors about Louisville joining the ACC because that can do nothing but actually make the continue to make that ACC a little bit stronger too. We're not the SEC, but, you know, we'll see how everything plays out. This is a pretty much another interesting thing. We'll talk about a lot of things going on with SEC and a lot of schools losing over this past couple weekend. But Ohio State asked Obama to pardon their football program to make them eligible for the Big Ten. We're going to stay here in Austin at BCS title. And I think this is kind of crazy if you're Ohio State. Now, I have nothing but respect for you guys, but come on, seriously?
Yeah, this is a joke.
I
tell you what, if Ohio State fans were smart, they would have asked Obama to do this before the election. So maybe Obama might consider it so that way he can assure himself winning Ohio. But say it's a little late now. He's already won Ohio. He doesn't have to run for president again. So, hey, just stay out of it, Obama, at this point. Hey, you've already won Ohio. You know, there's no reason for you to get involved in this. Ohio State is on probation, and so that's just the way it is. And it's, this is kind of unfortunate because they're undefeated, and you know maybe they have a small case if they were if they weren't on probation that possibly they could be right up there with Notre Dame 1-2 in the BCS. But you know it is what it is at this current point.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. All right, we got a good topic about will the SEC get the last laugh again, and it seems like that's the case. Man, a lot of big upsets over the weekend. Kansas State going down. You had, just a lot of teams just dropping like flies over the weekend, and it's kind of sad because, you know, it's tough because I know a lot of these teams that, you know, they have one loss, but, you know, the SEC's schedule, strength of schedule is so strong that it seems like we're going to be right in the same type of situation all over again, and kind of begs you to wonder what would happen if we had a 14 playoff a little bit more quicker. But right now, I think I like how it's set up, and the best teams are always going to play, so you're getting some good competition, and I think, yeah, once again, SEC gets the last laugh. What do you think, man?
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's the way it's looking. I mean, last week when you and I did the show on last Tuesday, hey, we were looking at a Kansas State-Oregon National Championship game thinking the SEC would be the first time in 6 years that they're on the outside looking in. And then all of a sudden, bam, Baylor just takes it to Kansas State and Stanford. Great job by David Shaw getting that Stanford team ready to play Oregon. And, two huge upsets. Now, if the season ended today, we're looking at Notre Dame, Alabama, two traditional powers going head-to-head. But it's not over yet. I'm not sure this is a cakewalk for Notre Dame going into USC, even without Matt Barkley. You never know what Auburn can do with Alabama, even though I think Alabama will definitely win the game. And but even after that, you know, Georgia Tech, Georgia, I mean, that's not a given for Georgia. I think Georgia Tech could easily pull off, I mean, I'm not going to say easily pull off an upset, but they're definitely capable of upsetting Georgia. So this is not over. Florida State, Florida, I mean, I know we're going to get into some of these predictions here in a minute, so I don't want to spill all our beans, but, you know, it's Florida State is definitely capable of beating Florida. So this BCS is not – we still got another week of regular season, and we have another week of conference championship games after that. So this thing is still unsettled, and we'll have to wait and see if Notre Dame – and even if Alabama and Georgia wins this week, I'm not so sure that Alabama is better than Georgia. Would not be surprised if Georgia wins that game. So I'm not so sure we're going to be – some people are already saying it's Notre Dame versus Alabama. I'm not so sure that's set in stone just yet.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. Like you said, you got a lot of games to play, and you got to be careful if you're looking ahead, too. I know, like a lot of Georgia fans, they keep saying, hey, don't beat us, man, because you're going to mess it up. And Georgia Tech is going to definitely have that on their mind to kind of mess it up for them. And as they get ready to play in the SEC championship game versus Alabama. So it's going to be very interesting. As everything
go Yellow Jackets. I'm a Yellow Jackets fan this weekend. Go Yellow Jackets.
Hey, glad to have you on board, sir. Right, let's talk about this. This is pretty too. So I like how you're talking about this. So we're talking about kind of in rivalry weekend, and I like the question, the top rivalry in college football. And I think this is interesting. I'm going back old school. I'm going back to the days of Ohio State and Michigan. This is why I think it's a top rivalry, because not only do they make an amazing film about this with Woody Hayes back in the day, Bo Schembechler. It's just amazing to see like a lot of stuff too. And I love the rivalry because they said that Woody Hayes didn't even want to fill up his gas tank in the state of where was he at? Whenever he was going through Michigan, he wanted to fill up his tank. It was pretty funny. And then I love it because I guess he was trying to figure out. Woody Hayes hated Michigan so bad he was. I think they kept trying to score points and points, and then they were at the goal line. And they actually go for it. They go for two. And after the game, one of the reporters asked him, why did you go for two? He's like, and Woody Hayes says, because I couldn't go for three. And that's just how bad he wanted to beat up Michigan. And just, you know, as far as he didn't want to fill up gas in them, it was just amazing to see this rivalry. So I think, for me, watching that just kind of adds some emphasis. Like, you know, that's one of the most, one of the top rivalries in college football goes back, you know, at least a good 60, 70, 80 years, I think. So that's who I think is the top rivalry in college football.
I would agree with you. I had the same one, Michigan versus the Ohio State University as the number one rivalry. But I will say Auburn and Alabama is a close second. And I know Auburn is down, and so I may have taken a little bit of luster off of that rivalry. But I was actually, I can't remember what year this was. This was maybe several years ago, maybe 7, 8 years ago. I just so happened to be in Huntsville, Alabama, on the same day Auburn and Alabama was playing. And when I tell you the whole town is like everybody's inside watching the game, it's incredible. I mean, it's a great time to go to, you know, to any store or restaurant, anything, any errand you want to run, it's the best time to go do it. Because everybody is in front of the tube watching the game when that game is being played in the state of Alabama. So I'm going to say Auburn and Alabama is a close second, but I clearly agree with you. Michigan, Ohio State is number one.
Gotcha. We got about 5 minutes left. Let's talk about some predictions, man. We're going to get right into this. A lot of big rivalry games. We got number 5 Oregon at number 15 Oregon State. Oregon is actually a 9.5-point favorite. And what do you think about this game? Because I'm sure Oregon is pretty upset about scoring one of their lowest outputs versus Stanford. And I think they're going to take it out of Oregon State personally, and I think they're going to handle their business against them.
Not so fast, my friend. I'm actually thinking Oregon State wins this game at home. Oregon State plays very good defense, and I like them to pull off the upset here as well. I think they can slow down Oregon. Oregon State is one of the better defensive ball clubs in the country. They're at home. As they call this game, the Civil War up in Oregon. I like the Beavers, man.
All right, good deal. We'll see how that plays out, even though I got to get my props for picking UCLA last week. So anyway, moving right along, sir. Let's go number 4, Florida at number 10, Florida State. We talk about defenses. FSU has a pretty outstanding defense as well. I think they may pull off this upset. But what do you think about this, sir?
Yeah, I like Florida State in this game. I think Florida State has a better offense, and their defense is just as good as Florida, and they're at home. And so I like Florida State in this ball game. Definitely, I agree with you there.
Number 21, Oklahoma State at number 13, Oklahoma. I didn't give the spread. Actually, Oklahoma is favored by 7. What do you think about this one, sir?
I tell you what, Oklahoma State is going to be a serious threat here in a year or two to win it all. And this team is really growing fast with a redshirt freshman quarterback. I'm going to say Oklahoma squeaks by him and win this game by maybe 3 points. I think this game is going to be really close and high scoring.
Gotcha. Next, we got number 8, Stanford, at number 17, UCLA. Stanford is actually favored by 2 points, and the way that Stanford's played, both these schools had pretty impressive wins. Stanford over over Oregon, obviously, and UCLA over USC. I'm not sure who to call on this one, so I'm going to defer to you, sir.
I like UCLA. I like them at home to win this game. I think Stanford may be a little bit on a high after beating Oregon, but I like UCLA. I'm really impressed with the job Jim Mara Jr. has done this year, or Jim L. Mara, I should say, with this team. So I like UCLA in this ball game.
Gotcha. And last but not least, we got a big, heated rivalry, number 12. South Carolina versus number 11, Clemson. Actually, Clemson is favored by 4, a little closer than I anticipated, but it's pretty interesting as far as this. What do you think about this one?
I like Taj Boyd and Clemson. They're putting up points and amazing numbers. I know South Carolina may have one of the best defensive ends in the country, and Javon Clowney. And he would definitely be the number one pick, not in this year's draft, but next year's draft when he's eligible. This kid is a beast, but I like Clemson to win this game.
Gotcha. We'll see the college rule. We'll wrap up some NFL, some NBA next week. But what do you think about the highly touted freshman Shabazz Muhammad? He makes his debut for UCLA, the top pick, the top recruit, excuse me. How do you think he did
first
UCLA real quick as we wrap up the show?
Well, yes, he's playing for UCLA last night. I wasn't overly impressed yesterday, but it was his first game. Not sure how he played tonight against Georgia. I didn't get an opportunity to see that game, but I did see a good bit of his performance last night against Georgetown. Wasn't overly impressed with his athletic ability. He looked to be a little bit out of shape, but it was his first game. And so I would say the jury's still out. I mean, I think let's see him get into a little bit more basketball shape. And maybe we ought to kind of reevaluate where he is maybe in another month or so. But I was not overly impressed. You know, a lot of people saying he should be the number one pick in the NBA draft next year or this coming summer. And I just didn't see that off my first look at him.
Gotcha. We got some time to watch. But anyway, we'll see you guys next week. So much love. Rob Ford, thank you so much for talking with me. Have any last thing to say as we wrap up the show?
Once again, people, have a happy and blessed Thanksgiving. Join us next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central. Good night.